You got to stretch, stand up and stretch if you're going to sit for the next 2.5. And it's nearly Christmas. And so we get to sing some of those songs that are tucked there in the book that we only pull out one time a year about that wonderful truth that God became flesh. Take your songbook, if you would, and turn to number 423. We're going to make it easy this morning, especially on me because I'm old and don't remember stuff. So we'll just do both these songs, 423 and 424, some of the best Christmas carols you'll ever come across. Can you imagine? This is the only time of year you can go through a place as wicked as Walmart and hear a song like Joy to the World. Amen? So let's sing it out like we're glad. Amen? Let's sing it together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Now you probably know that as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, we always just skip the third verse. It's cruel. It's terrible. You know, that third verse, somebody wrote that on purpose. Amen? And so we're going to sing the third verse and the fourth verse now. Are you ready? Here we go.
No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Verse 4, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love.
A lot of good truth in there, isn't there? Did you see what it said there in verse number 3? I mean, the one people don't sing, the one they miss altogether, that he comes to make his blessings known far as the curse is found. You know what that means? That means you can't go anywhere in this wicked, old, cursed world that the power of God is not there. Amen? That the eye of God doesn't see, that the mercy of God is not available to the lost sinner in need. What a wonderful thing. Amen. Go right over to the next page, 424. Oh, come all ye faithful. Now, how many of you know how to read music and do what it says on the chorus? Some of you know how to do that? All right, follow your parts then and do what you're supposed to do on the chorus. Here we go.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh come ye to Bethlehem. Born the King of angels, oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Now some of you did your thing and some of you were a little afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Now you see those little teeny tiny notes there on the chorus. It's those little round dots with the little sticks on them, those little tiny ones. You can sing there, but when they get dark there on the, oh, come, let us adore him, that's the guys with the high voices. We have any high voice guys or the low voice girls. You sing, you come in there. And then when you get to the, oh, come let us adore him after that, then you see there's four notes all stacked up. That means everybody's singing and they're singing really loud. Okay? If you're not sure what to sing, just sing really loud and all will be well. Here we go on verse 2. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, O ye bright hosts of heaven above. Good. Glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore. Now, a little more. Oh, come, let us adore. Now, really loud and big. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Verse 3. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. A little more. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. All right, you can sit down. If you're not tired, I am.
Amen. I think my water is sitting down there. I'm going to grab that real quick.
Already. Amen. It's just been fun. And some of you are probably thinking, well, why'd you stop singing in the middle of each one of those verses? Well, because it gets really high. And that's my policy. When it gets really high, I let you sing. Amen. That's just the way I do that. Otherwise, I'll fizzle out pretty quickly. Always good to know your limitations. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and open to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We had a good time last night at the Christmas party and ate lots of good food. Lots of good desserts and played some games and just had a wonderful time of fellowship. And thank you for letting us be part of all that and then be with you this morning. Mark chapter number 5. Now, I know I just had you sit down, but let's go ahead and stand up again anyway. If I have to stand, you might as well. Amen. I'm going to begin reading in Mark chapter 5, verse number 1, and read several of these verses. Then we'll get right into the Word of God. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And it was when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell them that was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. I want to preach to you on this subject this morning. Dear Jesus, please go away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good day that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to fellowship together, to rejoice together, to sing songs about your love and your goodness and your mercy and your power. Lord, thank you for the time that we have now to look into your word. We ask that you would indeed use it in our hearts and lives to meet the needs represented. God, if there's somebody here lost today without Christ, I pray they wouldn't leave that way. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I mentioned to you, we do have, the preacher said we have a table back there that's got CDs on it. Most of what we sang, well, a lot of what we sang today is on there from our previous CDs. And there's a clearance rack with stuff that we're trying to get rid of out of the barn. And so everything's cheap there. And if you need cheap Christmas presents, that's the place. But on the big rack is the regular price stuff. And then, as I mentioned earlier, our brand new CD is not quite done yet at the manufacturing plant. It'll be another week before we get those. But if you download things, you can go to our website, mrogers.com, and you can download individual songs or the whole thing, and it's cheaper that way anyway. It's only $10 if you do it that way. Or if you want to wait till tomorrow, it'll be on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and Pandora and all of those things. At some point tomorrow and the next day, it'll be popping up on those venues. But if you want it right away, you can get it from our website. Or if you wait a while, you can always order a physical copy if you're into that. A lot of folks not buying physical CDs anymore, which means we won't have to lug them around forever. Amen? They'll just, you can't even buy a new car with a CD player in it now, it seems like. So if you want the real thing, the hard copy, you're going to have to wait a week or so and then order it through the mail and pay shipping and all that. So I'd download it if I was you. Amen? That's what I would do. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus and the disciples have come. In chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and then he tells the disciples, get the boat, we're going to the other side. And halfway across, a storm comes up. A storm so severe that they think they're going to die. But Jesus has found a comfortable place in the boat, and he's asleep. And so they wake him up and say, don't you even care that we're about to die here? And Jesus does what Jesus does in the middle of a storm. He says, peace be still, and the whole thing stops. And they finally make their way to the other side. But when they get to the other side, to what this passage refers to as the Gadarenes, and another passage is called the Gergesenes, it's the area of Decapolis on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as they make their way over there, I'm sure Jesus knew, but the disciples probably didn't. There was somebody up on the hillside watching them as they pulled up to shore. This is a man who lived in the tombs. And the Bible says he was possessed with devils, and he would scream and cry and cut himself, and they would try to bind him so that he wouldn't terrorize people in the town, and he would just break apart the chains and the fetters, and he'd rip off his clothes and cut himself with rocks, and they'd hear him screaming up there at night, and that's the man that sees the boat come to shore. And as Jesus and the disciples get out of that boat, I don't know how much this man saw. I don't know if he saw a storm and then saw it suddenly stop. I don't know if that's what piqued his interest. But he had the first clear thought he had had in a long, long time when he saw Jesus get off on the shore. And he said, I think that man can help me. And he began to run down that hillside. Now get the picture in your mind. He's naked. He's got scars and blood all over him. He's a horrible mess. He's been living in the tombs. His hair is all ratty and matted, and he's filthy looking. And he is a scary sight. And now he's running down the hillside straight for Jesus and the disciples. Now the disciples, after going through that storm, they're probably glad to get to the other side, and they're thinking, glad all the trouble's over. And then all of a sudden, here he comes, running right at him. And I'm sure they probably took some defensive positions. You know, they probably got themselves ready and said, Jesus, get back there. And, you know, Peter's going to stop the bad guy. And everybody's out there to protect Jesus. And we don't know what happened, all the particulars. I hope we get to watch the replay when we get to heaven. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Jesus said, just let him come. Just let him come. And he comes running down that hillside and he runs straight to Jesus and falls down at his feet and begins to worship him. And Jesus, according to the passage, Jesus tells the devils to come out. And they said, we don't want to come out. We don't want to. As a matter of fact, we want to stay here in this place. And he said, what's your name? And they said, Legion, for we are many. Do you suppose there are some places where the devil feels more comfortable than other places? Places where he actually feels welcome and he likes those places. Well, that's how this country was. They said, well, please don't make us leave this country. We like this country. That seems odd, doesn't it? They said, we want to stay here. And there's a herd of swine up on the hillside, about 2,000. I don't think it would be a stretch at all to say there are probably nearly 2,000 devils in this man. Because they're going to go into a herd of 2,000 swine and infest them. And Jesus gave them leave, the Bible says, and they went into the swine. And immediately the swine ran down the hillside, jumped off the cliff into the sea, and drowned themselves. Well, why would the devils come out of the man and then go into the pigs and then immediately kill the pigs? That doesn't make sense. Why would they want to do such a thing? You need to understand, that's all the devil ever does. Listen, they've been trying to destroy this man for years. And he wasn't completely gone yet. And the minute they get out of him and they go into those pigs, they're not going to do anything to destroy the life of a pig. They're just going to kill it. And so they immediately run down the cliff and into the sea and do what the devil always does. Listen, don't believe to the devil when he tells you he's got something fun for you. He's got something good for you. He's got something exciting. What he has is death and destruction. That's all that he has, and that's all he ever offers. Oh, it might look good at the beginning, but all it really is death and destruction. So as soon as they get in those pigs, they do the only thing they know how to do, and they destroy that which they have infected. They run down that hillside, and they go in the sea, and they drown, and the pig herders see all that happen. And they of course, that's shocking to them. And so they run into town. They tell everybody what just happened. The crazy guy's down there. He's got clothes on, and he's talking to Jesus. And now the pigs are all gone. Something weird is happening here today. And the people run out there to see what's going on. Now, think with me for a minute. If the biggest problem in your town just got solved by this guy who showed up on shore, would you not first of all say, thank you for solving our problem? I mean, thank you for what you just did. Here's this man who's been a terror, and now here he is clothed in his right mind. He's doing great. Thank you at least for that. But they never do. Instead, they come up to him, and the Bible says they began to pray him to leave their coast. As soon as they got up there, there was no thank you. There was no, why don't you hang around and talk to us about this? By the way, we've got some other problems on the other side of town that we need some help with. We've heard that you heal sick people, that you can do all kinds of stuff. Could you stay for a little while? Not once do they ever say that. Instead, they come up, they see that man clothed and in his right mind, and they say, go away. We don't want you here. That's shocking, isn't it? That doesn't even make sense. Why would you do that? When he has just solved your problem, why wouldn't you at least thank him and say, teach us a little bit, talk to us some, tell us? But no, their response is, go away. We don't want you here. We don't need you here. Why in the world would they do such a thing? I submit to you this morning, they did it because he reminded them of their sin. He reminded them of their sin. You see, they had gotten used to the crazy guy in the tombs who screamed all night long and cut himself. And I'm sure many of them said, that's just the way he is. He was born that way. He had a rough childhood, and that's why he's that way. Somebody mistreated him once, and that's why he's that way. And that's just how he is, and we'll have to live with it. And Jesus came along and cast out the devils, and they realized none of that was true. You see, this man didn't get full of devils overnight. He didn't just wake up one morning and boom, he's full of devils. That's not the way that works. This was a long path that he went down. And he slowly turned away from God and turned toward wickedness, and he kept going that way, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm sure all along the line, the devil said, this is it, listen, it's not that bad. It's okay. You can quit anytime you want. And he probably told people that. Oh, I can quit this anytime I want. I can quit the drugs. I can quit the booze. I can quit the perversion. I can quit it anytime I want. But he couldn't. And then there came the day where he had no control over himself at all. And the devils had complete control. That doesn't happen overnight. That takes a process of walking away from God. And when Jesus came and cast out the devils, you know what it revealed? That this man had had a sin problem that needed to be dealt with. And so they looked around and they didn't want to think of it as sin. People don't like to think of their sin as sin. They like to think of it as something else. We don't have drunks anymore. We used to have drunks. When I was a kid, we had drunks. We don't have those now. Now we have alcoholics. We have people with substance abuse issues. Why? Well, because we don't want to think of it as a sin. We want to think of it as somebody else's fault or some failing because of my genetics or something in my family. Or we don't want to just say, God says don't do this and I'm doing this, so this is sin and I need to deal with it. We don't have perverts anymore. Now we have minor attracted adults. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. That's the accepted term now for child molesters. Minor attracted adults. You know what it is? It's perversion and it's sin. Oh, that's the way I was born. Doesn't matter how you were born. Sin is sin. We were all born messed up. Listen, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we got messed up, and we passed that messed up on to everybody who comes after us. That's no excuse. Sin is still sin. And still has to be dealt with and is still paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But if you don't come to the place where you're willing to admit it is sin, you will never get past it. And you will live with it, and it will plague your life until the day you die. You see, Jesus saw it for what it was. It was a sin problem here that had allowed this to get where it was. And so he cast the devils out. And those people said, we don't want to think of this as a sin issue. You need to go away now. You need to go away. You see, they probably had gotten used to him doing what he did. Oh, it was scary. The first time he came running through town, all naked and cut up, they put shackles on him. But he burst the shackles. The next time he came running through town all cut up and screaming and naked, they put chains on him and he broke the chains. And he's been living up there in the tombs ever since. And at night, you hear the screaming and the wailing and the crying. The problem is, after a while, you get used to stuff. You do. Did you ever know anybody who lived near the train tracks? When you live near the train tracks, you don't hear the train. I mean, the whole house can shake. And you don't hear the train. You go visit somebody who lives near train tracks and there it is. But they don't hear it. Why? Well, it's not that it's not there. It's just that they've become dead to it. They don't hear it anymore. And these people had just gotten used to the fact that there's a crazy guy up there and he screams all night and sometimes he runs through town and we hide the kids, but he'll go away and everything will be all right. And they were willing to live with that, rather than face the idea that there was sin in their midst. And Jesus showed up and revealed that the problem was not a societal problem, not an economic problem. It was a sin problem. So, well, I'm not a drunk and a druggie and a pervert and a this and a that. Listen, even our acceptable little sins we like to rename. You know, we get bitter, but we won't call it that. I'm just a little frustrated today. Well, I'm covetous, but you don't understand. It's not really covetousness. It's just that's something I really like. And we don't want to call sin, sin. Why? Because we don't want to deal with it. We want to leave it the way that it is. And until Jesus comes along and delivers us from that sin, we will never get beyond it. You see, they told him to go away because he revealed their sin. He told them to go away because he threatened their lifestyle. Look at verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They that fed the swine. Now these people, living over here in the area of Decapolis and the Gadarenes, it's a mixed bunch, but they're predominantly Jews. And they are living under the Old Testament law. They're not supposed to be herding pigs. They're not supposed to be touching pigs. They're certainly not supposed to be eating pigs. And yet that's their entire livelihood. Do you see maybe why the devil feels comfortable in this area? Because they've already rejected what God has told them. They're living under the Old Testament law, and they're supposed to stay clear of the swine, and yet the Romans like to eat pork, and so they're raising pork. Not to eat. Oh, that would be wicked. Oh. No, they're just going to sell it to the Romans. And they justify it. And it's their livelihood. And now their livelihood has gone down the mountain and drowned itself in the sea. And they said, Jesus, that's enough of that. We want you out of here. We got to get another herd of pigs up here. You see, when Jesus came by, it threatened their livelihood because for these folks, their livelihood was in direct violation to God's word. They had already turned away. And their whole livelihood is built on pig farming. They had in essence invited the devils to come take up residence in their midst because they were living in rebellion against God. When you live in rebellion against God, you are inviting the devil to use your life as his playground. So I'm only disobeying God in this area. That's all the devil needs. Just one area. And your life turns into his playground. And that's what happened in this town. The Bible commentator Matthew Henry said this, being loath to quit either their sins or the swine, they chose rather to abandon the Savior. They don't want to give up the pig herding. They don't want to deal with their sin. Let's just tell Jesus to go away and then everything will be fine. There's an awful lot of folks who make that choice. They are. They don't want to deal with sin. They don't want anything messed with in their life. Oh, Jesus is good and fine as long as he doesn't mess with my lifestyle. We were in Newport, Tennessee. It's right down in the Smoky Mountains there where Tennessee and Virginia come together and West Virginia over on the side. And it was years ago back in the 20s and 30s, it was a big moonshine area. You know, that's the area with all the stills and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, that was illegal and, you know, all that. Well, now they have legalized small batch moonshine. And now it's a tourist thing. I mean, there are billboards everywhere. You can't miss them. Everywhere. Big billboards, moonshine here, moonshine there, flavored moonshine, moonshine candy, moonshine this. That's the tourist thing. Got to go get you some moonshine. Little bitty jars, little mason jars, you know, with a little lid. And it's a big deal. That's what everybody's going to do. It's a tourist thing. All the stores sell it. You can buy it everywhere. It's the tourist thing. And I promise you, there are saved people who sell that filth in their store because if they didn't, they'd lose a sale to some other store. Oh, they would never drink it because that would dishonor God. God says not to look at it when it moveth itself in the cup. God says in black and white, don't give it to somebody else. So they would never drink it, but they'll sell it to somebody else. And you expect God to bless that? It's not going to happen. You can't live in knowing rebellion against God and expect him to bless it. I could take you to saved restaurant owners who started serving booze in their restaurant because if they don't, they'll be the only one in town who doesn't and they'll lose all these customers. When God says in black and white not to give it to anyone else, you're in violation of the word of God. And you can justify it all you want. You can make all kinds of excuses you want. You can say whatever you want. But you're in rebellion against God. And you are inviting the devil to come play around in your life. You see, it's okay unless Jesus messes with your lifestyle. Well, don't tell me what to do with my business. I mean, that's different. No, that's not different. That should still be under the control of God. Well, don't tell me what to do with my... I know I shouldn't work in a place like that, but that's the only job I could find. Maybe you could trust God to find you a job where you didn't have to do something that was in violation of His Word. There's a thought. Amen. But these folks said, no, we're going to keep raising pigs because that's where the money is. And we need the money. Jesus, you just need to go away. Just go away. Folks get real touchy when you mess with their lifestyle, you know. They do. You know, people get saved, you know. And nobody wants to be the police, but, you know, people come, they get saved. And they're a couple, they live together, they have children. And Brother Boatman, you just kind of assume they're married. That's not always a safe assumption nowadays. And they come, they get saved, and they want to join the church and get baptized and all that stuff. And then you find out they're not married. So if they're gonna do right before God, they have to get married. Because living together outside the bonds of marriage is a sin. That's what it is. It's in the Word of God. It's simple, black and white, plain. So you sit down and talk to him and say, hey, this is something we got to fix. Listen, I have seen people get married after the Sunday morning service to get right with God. Amen? I have. I've seen them have a special, you know, thing after church Sunday night. And they get married or on a Wednesday, whatever, just so they can get things right and go on and serve God. But you know what happens more often than that? Once they find out that's what they need to do in order to be right with God, they walk out the door and they never come back. Why? Well, because Jesus just tried to touch their lifestyle. And they don't want their lifestyle messed with. Can I just tell you, you will never be happy as a born-again child of God unless you let Jesus touch your lifestyle. You'll be miserable. You'll be wretched. You'll be foul. Until you let Jesus touch your lifestyle. These people said, no, we don't want it. We don't want that to happen. Just go away. They didn't want to be reminded of their sin. Jesus threatened their lifestyle. And then finally, they wanted Jesus to leave because he forced a decision. You see, his very presence there forced them to make a decision about what to do. Either they've got to listen to him and make some changes themselves, or they've got to knowingly reject him and walk away. And so they said, we just don't want to deal with it. Just go away. We don't want to deal with it today. Maybe someday we'll think about it, but not today. Just leave. Just go away and leave us alone. And that's the problem a lot of people have today. You see, when Jesus shows up, he forces a decision. Because you either accept him or you reject him. So I would never reject him. I haven't trusted him, but I've never rejected him. You know what it says in John 3:18? He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't have to shake your fist at God and reject him. You don't have to close your Bible and stomp out the back door and say, I reject God and I reject the Bible. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is make it through your life without ever trusting him as your Savior. And you're condemned already. Already. You don't have to do anything. Condemned already simply because you haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. These people said, we don't want to think about it. We don't want to talk about it. Just go away. And they didn't realize they were already condemned. Already. It's a sad story. But there are people like that all over the place today. Can I just tell you this morning, not to choose is to choose. I don't want to think about it. And, you know, I know that religious stuff and that Jesus stuff, that's all good. And preacher, you know, before I die, I'm going to get all that straightened out. I am. I'm going to get it all straightened out before I die.
That's good. I'm glad. Now, if you will tell us what day you're going to die, we will put that on the church calendar. I mean on the paper calendar where stuff is for real. Amen. We'll put it on there. And the day before that, he'll come to your house, open the Bible, and go through the gospel with you again. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that sound like a good deal? No? What's the problem? Oh, you mean you don't know what day? Oh, well then, maybe you ought not put it off. Because you don't know what day that's going to be. Oh, it sounds nice when you say, someday I'm going to get right with God. What a bunch of baloney. You just don't want to do it today, that's all. And you think if you can put it off today, then you won't have to worry about it. But you will one day. There will be a day when you can't put it off anymore. And if you still haven't trusted Christ, you are condemned already. I didn't make that up. That's in the Word of God. That's what the Bible said. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said that in John chapter 3. He forced a decision, and they didn't want to make a decision. And so, one of the saddest things in the Bible, look what happens in verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he gets back in the boat. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You know what happens in the very next verse, verse 21? And when Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side. The dangerous thing about telling Jesus to go away is that he'll go away. You tell him, I don't want to deal with it, he'll go away. And you won't have to think about it until it's too late. And then you'll say, I wish I hadn't told him to go away. But it's too late then. This man wanted to go with him. He said, can I go? Just let me come with you. Listen, his whole life's been transformed. He wants to go with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you can't come with me. Here's what I want you to do. You stay here, and you go all over this area and tell everybody what God did for you today. And he did it. He went everywhere. He went all through Decapolis. He went through all the towns and all the villages. He went everywhere, and he told everybody what Jesus had done for him. Preacher, I hope when we get to heaven, we can watch the replay of the big stuff. Jonah and Noah, and I want to see all the big stuff. But I'd like to see stuff like this, where this guy goes all through Decapolis and tells everybody what happened, and I would like to see how many people said, tell us more about Jesus. Where do we find Jesus? What do I have to do to follow Jesus? I'll bet you someday there are going to be a bunch of people in heaven who first heard about Jesus when this man showed up on their doorstep and said, remember me? I was the crazy guy. Look what God did. And then it would be interesting to see how many of the townspeople who came running down to the shore that day and said, Jesus, go away. How many of them are in hell today? I would guess a whole bunch of them. Because they didn't want to think about it and they didn't want to talk about it. They just wanted it to go away. We're going to walk out those doors in a few minutes. And I would dare say, listen, I know who's here today. I would dare say the vast majority of us in this room, at one time in our lives, we realized we were sinners and we were lost and we couldn't save ourselves, and we cried out to God for mercy. We trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and our sins are forgiven, and we are going to heaven. We already came to that point of decision. But if you're here today and you haven't come to that point, you need to understand that if you walk out of here without Jesus, you're walking out already condemned. And he gave you a chance today. Don't tell him to go away. Don't do that. Because he might not bother you again for a while. And you don't know what's going to happen between now and then. You know what's really sad? I understand people who don't know Christ and they don't understand how good God is and all that, who could be a little nervous about getting saved and trusting Jesus Christ. What I don't understand is saved people who live their lives telling Jesus to go away all the time. Oh, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I just, don't talk to me about church and the Bible and the things of God. And I don't like being around those Christians. And I have no use for the... What is wrong with you? You mean you claim that you're saved and you still want Jesus out of your life? Oh, you want him to take you to heaven. You just don't want him to mess with anything else in your life. Let me tell you a secret. He wants to mess with all of your life. And you won't be happy until he does. And when he finally does, it'll be like getting saved all over again. Really? When you just surrender to him and let him have control, it'll be like getting saved all over again. Because the most wretched person in all the world is not a lost man on his way to hell. It's not. Most of them don't know they're on their way to hell. They're just bombing along through life, ignorant of what's waiting down the road. They're not wretched most of the time. You know who the most wretched person in all the world is? A saved person who won't surrender to God. Because when they're in church, they're miserable. They're foul and miserable. And when they're out there in the world and they're at the bar or they're with their lost friends, and you know what? They're still miserable. Because deep down inside, if they really are a child of God, the Spirit of God's going to make them miserable. And they'll never really fit in out there. They never will. And they'll be unhappy there, and then they'll show up at church, and they'll feel like everybody's talking about them, and they'll be miserable in church, and the whole thing could be solved so easily by them just saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. And just surrendering. In a minute, we're going to walk out the door. I'm just telling you, Jesus makes the same offer today. Here I am. All that I am, all I can be, I'm here. I'm here for you. Don't tell him to go away. Don't do that. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we could be here this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for telling us this account of one man whose life was just completely transformed and some other folks who really blew it that day. God, most of us could look back on our lives at different times and say, you know, I really blew it there. I really blew it there. Lord, don't let today be one of those days. God, if there's somebody here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray they would not leave that way, but that today they would come and get saved before it's too late. Lord, for each and every saved person, please, God, help us to be wise enough not to live our lives without you in them. God, please don't let us tell you to go away. Instead, remind us how much we need you every single day in every area of our lives. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a minute, Sam's going to play. But I don't know you folks well, and I just need to ask you a question before we go. How many of you would say, I know for sure there was a day in my life I realized I was lost. I trusted Christ as Savior. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven when I die. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up, wave it at me? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. Maybe this morning, if you were going to be honest, you'd say, you know, I don't know. I go to church. I'm a decent person. But I didn't ask you that. Maybe you can't pinpoint a day when you trusted Christ as Savior. Maybe you're not sure what's going to happen when you die. Maybe you're not sure your sin is taken care of. If that's you, nobody's looking but me, and I will not embarrass you, and I won't come get you, I promise. But if that's you, would you just stick your hand up and wave it at me and say, pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. Is there somebody like that? Just stick your hand up, wave it at me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you I won't. But I would love to pray for you today. I would consider it an honor. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands raised here in this room this morning. God, you see each and every heart. You know every thought going through every mind today. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive to your Spirit. And we would not tell you at any time for any reason to go away. We'll thank you for all that you do in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head still bowed and eyes closed, he's going to begin to play. If he does, as he does, this invitation's open for you this morning. I know this is Sunday morning. It's a little different. But maybe you need to come pray this morning, or maybe right where you are, you just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need you in all of my life. Lord, forgive me for not letting you in this part and that part. Or if you need to be saved this morning, there'll never be an easier time or a better time. If you were to come down here, we'd take the Bible, show you how to be saved. It'd only take a few minutes, but it'd be the best few minutes you ever spent. I promise you, Jesus is making the offer. If you're not saved, he's offering you salvation today. If you are saved, he's offering you a better life than you already have. He really is. He's offering you joy, real joy. Offering you peace. Offering you comfort and contentment in this wicked, messed up world. Don't tell him to go away. Don't do that. As he plays through one more time, there's still time for you to come today. Till the storm passes over. The writer said, Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't say you won't ever have a problem or a difficulty, but he did say he'd be with you in the middle of it. And he's the one that can calm a storm, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what kind of mess you're facing. You can call out to him. Pastor, would you come?